Mike, any comments about your clinical experience with regorafenib? In a second, Axel is going to present a case. Have you found it to be useful? How do you approach dosing, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, I think what Axel just demonstrated is really the key is the acknowledgement that, you know, a ramp-up dosing approach lets you get to identified dose for a patient that is markedly more tolerable. There are clearly patients that do not tolerate full dose of regorafenib, and they can have severe kind of toxicity. And so I think this mechanism, this approach really kind of allows you to kind of get to the right dose for the right patient. And clearly we're talking about, you know, refractory metastatic colorectal cancer, where one of the key goals that we're trying to employ here with our patients is really quality of life, right? So I think this really aligns well with kind of what our goal is. And I think it allows us to give the therapy, and the tolerability is markedly more, as shown kind of from the redose clinical trial. And so I think that's the right approach. And I think it really does make a difference, and it aligns with kind of what our therapeutic and our kind of treatment goals are with patients. And I think Axel is very correct in noting that I think we also have to have kind of a real honest discussion about performance status with patients, because I think there is some potential kind of challenge of, you know, it's an oral pill. It's to some degree, oral pill is a little bit simpler, a little bit easier from a patient's perspective. That seems like kind of, you know, that I can do that. But in patients with that poor PS, you really have to have the honest discussion about what's driving that poor performance status and either get at it and improve it, or have the realization that this could really be something where you want to talk about supportive care and kind of end of life management.
So, Axel, I'm curious about this case. I know this is a patient you saw previously, but I've been hearing about this phenomena on and off for years from you. Eric Van Cutsem also mentioned this to me, of cavitation that occurs in patients on anti-angiogenics. And I was interested to see you actually have a case where you have some images. Any comment on this young patient?
This was the typical patient who kind of went through two lines of therapy, had a KRAS mutant tumor, and went through FOLFOX-BEV and then FOLFIRI-BEV with some, you know, response initially, but eventually was treated with regorafenib. And after the CORREX trial was closed, I actually never started a patient with one at 60 milligrams. So I'd been using this redose approach for quite some time. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, this patient had lung metastasis, which were actually one of the dominating part of the disease. And you can easily see the cavitation that happened on regorafenib, which is quite impressive. So this is, interestingly, when you measure this, it's stable disease because the outer contour has not changed. So you measure it and it's stable. But you know that a lot of this tumor has actually been, you know, resolved, you know, and really kind of coughed out, more or less, I believe, because, you know, this tumor apparently had access to the airways. And we have known this phenomenon to be this cavitation of lung metastasis to be associated with better outcomes for patients, even when they don't only have lung metastasis, but also liver metastasis. So it shows something about the biologic activity in these patients. And this has been confirmed anecdotally and in actually retrospective analysis of the randomized trials.